Welcome to The Toolbox with our hosts, Joe Mangi and
The Raven.
Buckle up and get ready. You're not going to want to miss a single second of this.
You're listening to 97.7 WVFF. You're listening to The Toolbox. I'm your host, Joe. I'm also here with my co-host, The Raven. Today, we're talking about tanks. Good tanks, bad tanks. And I don't think we're talking about the in-between tanks. We're not talking about those. No one cares about those ones.
They're not important enough.
But before we get into that, I got one tidbit for automotive news. I guess it's been a slow week. But, so Scout, like International Scout, mm-hmm. minus the international part, like, you know, little Scout trucks?
Yeah.
They're selling SUVs again. Yeah, so they're selling vehicles under the Volkswagen group. Didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
They offer an electric SUV and an electric pickup truck. They both look like the original Scout vehicles, which is, I think that's good. But Volkswagen dealers are upset because Volkswagen is selling them directly to customers and not through the dealerships.
Oh.
So all the dealers are like, what the heck? We thought we were going to sell these. And Volkswagen's like, no, you're not selling these.
Oh, wow. So just they ain't getting no profits.
Yeah. And surprising news, Chrysler's still in business. They sell one vehicle.
Yeah.
One vehicle only and no one's buying it. Stellantis, which owns Chrysler and Dodge and all that, I think they filed for bankruptcy or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't like Mopars. So y'all send your hate mail directly to me about how much you love Mopars. Any Dodges 1995 or newer, I don't care for.
Mm.
Unless it's a Viper. Vipers are cool. That's all I have for news.
I actually saw something I meant to ask you about. I don't remember if it was Volkswagen or BMW came out with this new driving feature. Yeah, and that's what they used in the ad for advertising the vehicle. Is that imagine like you're going down the road and all of a sudden you have a stroke or a heart attack and you pass out. The car senses as soon as your hands come off the wheel, it senses that and it alerts. It'll send off an alert to try and wake you up. It'll brake slowly and like trying to wake the driver. And then once it realizes the driver is completely unconscious, unresponsive, it emergency calls 911 and pulls the vehicle to the side of the road.
Huh.
And, like, the whole ad, it was showing, like, how the breakdown of how the car does this, how it alerts, and, like, if this is an actual feature that works, that would be amazing.
Yeah, it'll save lives.
It literally would, because, like, we've all heard stories about that happening, you know, someone just passes out behind the
terrifying.
Wheel. It is, and it's like, but I've also heard tons of stuff about the self-driving stuff and how it does not work. And so it's like, is this really going to be something that's, you know, for the greater good? Or is this going to end up a whole nother train wreck with the whole self-driving?
Well, you see, I think that's less self-driving and more self-stopping. I'm all for self-stopping.
Yeah.
That I'm in favor for.
Yeah.
But believe it or not, my old work van, my old Ford Transit, it would get mad. It had the same thing. It would detect your hands on the wheel.
Yeah.
And if I took a hand off, it'd get super mad. Like, it'd, like, beep. It'd be like, you need both hands on the wheel.
Yeah.
And it had collision assist.
But see, I remember you telling me how aggravating that was.
I turned the lane keep off. Because there's nothing more annoying if there's something in the road and you go to move and the car's like, no. You're going to hit this.
No.
My job is to keep you in this lane, no matter what's in this lane.
Yeah, see, that's where I'm getting at the, is this driver assist really going to end up helping, or is it going to cause more damage than harm?
I don't know. But my new work van doesn't have any of that, because Chevy refuses to update the Express.
Hey, don't fix nothing that ain't broke.
You see, the reason they haven't updated it? Because it is perfection. You can't mess with perfection of the Chevy Express. They've been making the same van since before the 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
Why would they stop now?
Yeah, true.
They're still making it. Like, I think you buy a 2025 now.
Oh, dang.
Yeah. Speaking of Chevy, if you're listening, put a glove box in. Why is the glove box an optional extra on a van that you've been making for over 20 years.
They figure everything you need to put in the van, you're putting in the back of the van. Why you need a glove box?
I don't know. Mine didn't come with that option. Tell you that. Been making this van for so long, but yet they still make two... Why is there a dash without a glove box? Why is the glove box an option? I can rant about this forever.
It's just an accessory.
Like, they got cars that can stop if you pass out, but yet Chevy's over here optioning a glove box.
You said they don't change nothing. They gave you something to change. They took away the glove boxes.
Yeah, they're like, here's your new van. We got rid of the glove box.
They probably did it so people could fit in.
Yeah, like how much? I probably should look up. I know this has nothing to do with tanks, but how much does a glove box cost? Well, I figured a little intro before we start talking about tanks. I picked out some bad tanks, and you picked out some good tanks. But
we both ended up picking the same tank.
Yeah, we also both picked the same tank.
But a perspective of how I think it's one of the coolest tanks of history, and he thinks it's one of the baddest, or worst.
It's not a good tank.
No.
Not that being said, I love this tank. I think it's really neat. But that could be said for any tank. I haven't seen a single tank that I'm like, nah, I don't think that's cool. But
that's just the boy in you.
And that's another thing. So all the tanks we picked are like World War II era or newer.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Because all tanks in World War I were pretty terrible. Because they didn't know what tanks were. The British came up with a tank. The first tank, called Little Willie, was a prototype developed by the British, constructed in autumn of 1915.
Autumn. Why they gotta be so...
Why can't they say fall?
The leaves were a different hue.
But yeah, so Little Willie is the oldest surviving individual tank and is preserved as one of the most famous pieces in the collection of the Tank Museum in England. And they have a sick YouTube channel. Like, they have hundreds of tanks. But, yeah, Little Willie was the first tank, which is kind of weird because I don't think it had any guns. It was like a Caterpillar tractor with a metal box. And they're like, boom, this is a tank.
With a house in the middle.
Yeah, it's two tracks with a house in the middle. And then after that, you know, Little Willie was never in production. They just made the one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they made one tank and they're like, this is good. And we're going to keep this tank somehow. I have no idea. Like, it's amazing that they still have it.
I was about to say, that would make that thing, like, over 100 years old.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, and so that was before the British Mark I, which was the first tank.
Yeah.
Like, especially the first production tank that's seen battle. They look really weird. They're like a trapezoid. The tranks. The tracks go all the way around the tank, like, up to the roof and back down. And it was a metal box with the engine in the middle. You know, it was two tracks with an engine in the middle. Interesting thing about the early trapezoid British tanks is they had male and female variants. The males had cannons on the side. No turrets. You know, they had one cannon on each side, so it could barely aim straight, but it could aim sideways really good.
It's like, stand a little bit more to the left.
And then the female tanks, instead of... Maybe they were cannons. Maybe they were considered guns. I don't know if they're rifled. That probably should have popped up in my research, but I did research that.
I can understand why they gave the females cannons.
No, those were the males. No, it's actually backwards.
No.
The males had cannons, and the females only had machine guns. But apparently the female tanks were, I think they were more effective.
Sounds pretty feminine.
Because when you're the first tank, you really don't have any other tanks to go up against.
True.
The Germans made the second tank, and they only made, I think it was less than 10, and they were pretty terrible. They would, like, tip over, and it was this metal box on tracks with, I think it had 16 people in it. Like, there was, like, two guns on the front, two guns on the side, two guns on the back, and then you had two guys up in the top.
Like, how many people can we fit in this clown car?
Yeah, they're like, we're gonna put a bunch of people in a box and then send them to die.
Oh, my God.
Speaking of that, so the first tank battle was between these two tanks. I think it might have been a British Mark III.
Yeah.
But I can't tell them apart. They're all like a trapezoid looking thing.
Yeah.
It was three British tanks, and then there was like a couple German tanks, which was crazy because they only made a couple of these German tanks. And I think, I can't remember who shot first, but then the British made a hit on the German tank, and everyone's like, I'm out. They all ran out of it and left it. They're like, nope.
They're like, nah, we're good.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's the origin of tanks, but here's some of my bad tanks that I picked.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I want to own all of these. First tank I picked, which is, I consider it a tank. Mm-hmm. It's kind of not a tank. I think it's more of a tank than Little Willy, though, because it has guns.
Yeah.
The CV-33 Tankette.
Tankette.
It is an Italian World War II era tank. If you're ever looking for, like, anything funny, just look up World War II Italian tanks. I don't know what they were doing, but they were just making these little itty-bitty tanks that were...
That sort of sounds like one of the tanks I have.
It might be.
Wait, is that tank Italian? That'd be funny.
Did we pick the only two Italian tanks?
No, mine's French.
Oh, I know which one you're talking about. That's actually a good tank. That's a good tank.
But it's no bigger than, it's only a little bit bigger than a man. It wasn't a very big one.
This one is teeny. So, it has a crew of two, one driver, one gunner. It was common for the gunner to ride on top of the tank instead of in it. That's how small it was.
Oh my God.
Until, you know, the
imagine
tank...
Imagine that being your job.
Wait, I'm not getting in this thing.
But, I'd rather sit on top of it in the war zone than inside of it.
Well, that's the thing. They'd get close to a battle and then they'd get into it.
Oh, okay.
The CV-33 measured 9 foot 11 inches long. So, shorter than this table. it was 4 foot 7 inches wide, so you could hug it.
Yeah,
you could hug it. It's a little baby tank. and it was only 3 foot 11 inches tall. So
that's no bigger than Cammy.
Exactly.
That's crazy.
And this was in World War II.
How was the first dude sitting inside of this thing? Let alone two people.
Right. 4 foot wide, and there's guns.
Yeah.
The armor range.
We're gonna put a coffin on wheels.
Pretty much, like, this is a little go-kart, and we're gonna send them. We're sending them in.
We'll just put some metal plating around it. It'll be fine.
The armor was, it ranged from 6 millimeters, or a quarter of an inch,
mm-hmm.
to 12 more, I can't even say it, 12 millimeters, or almost half an inch at its thickest point. When I said guns... It was armed with a single 6.5 millimeter machine gun. Has a top speed of 26, which is pretty fast for World War II.
Mm-hmm.
I consider the CV-33 a bad tank because of its size and lack of, you know, proper firepower.
Mm-hmm.
But its intended role of fighting infantry, it really excelled at because it was so teeny. Like, they would just drive around and shoot at people. Like, they wouldn't shoot at other tanks because there's no point.
Yeah.
But if you're a squad of guys and this little metal coffin with a machine gun popped out of the bushes and started shooting, I mean...
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Yeah, what do you do?
That's nuts.
Yeah, so that's all I had for the CV-33. They had a couple different variants of it, but the CV-33, I think, was, like, the first one.
Mm-hmm.
But they were all teeny.
Well, my first tank I picked was the Sherman tank.
It's a great tank. It depends on who you talk to. Because veterans either love the Sherman or they hate the Sherman. I like the Sherman.
Probably would have been good to ask my grandfather about that. No, that would have been my great-grandfather, World War II. He's passed away.
Oof.
but you would have liked him. He flew the big cargo planes.
Oh, like Smokey Unit?
Yeah, like there's like, we got like a whole family history on that. You would have liked that.
Oh, we should do an episode on Smokey Unit. He flew a cargo plane for the U.S. military illegally.
Oh.
Yeah, he was like stationed in India, and he would just like take the plane, and like people would pay him, and he would just do it and not give the military any money.
That's funny.
And then the military was like, what are you doing? He's like, yeah, don't worry about it. And they're like, oh, well, you got a good point.
That sounds about right. back to tanks. The Sherman tank was a main battle tank designed and built by the United States during World War II. It became the most widely used tank by the Western Allies, employed by the U.S. Armies, Marine Corps, British, Canadian, Free French, Australians, and Chinese forces.
I didn't know that.
They all used the Sherman, or a variant of it.
Oh, I get. Okay, that makes sense. I was about to say, we gave China...
Yeah, the Sherman went through many upgrades and variants and continued to be used after the war. In 1940, in light of the successful use of panzers, the German word for tank, in the European War, the U.S. Army decided to start a rapid tank building program. Rather than adapting existing engineering plants, the president of Chrysler suggested constructing a brand new tank arsenal just outside of Detroit, the home of the U.S. car industry.
I take back what I said about Mopar.
Oh my, how the tides have turned.
Yeah, right?
Adopting the mass production techniques used for making cars, this huge new factory was, by 1942, turning out 750 tanks per month.
Jeez.
On three massive assembly lines.
It's a lot of tanks.
First came the M2 light tank, soon modified into the M3 medium tank, and these were known as the Grant and the Lee. Why they named them like that?
Oh, those were military, like, generals.
I know Grant Lee wasn't, but, like, they separated it to the Grant and the Lee.
So the Lee, I almost did.
They couldn't come up with another name.
I almost did. I almost picked the Lee for one of the bad
did?
Tanks. It is, oh my, I don't know what they were thinking when they made the Lee. It's like a Sherman, but it's way taller because it has, like, a normal, it has, like, the Sherman turret. And then it has another turret that could only aim 90 degrees on the side. And I think they were commonly referred to as a coffin for five brothers because they're way too tall. And there's a common theme. If you have a tank with more than one turret, it's not a good tank. And the M3 Lee was probably one of the first ones.
Oof.
Yeah.
Well, I can see why. But production soon moved on to the M4 Sherman tank.
Yeah, Sherman much better. The Lee, not too good.
On this, it had a turret with a 360 gyro stabilizer built by Westinghouse. I don't know if you know who they are. But this thing could
probably
go all the way around. And I think it was the first with a gyro stabilizer.
I was about to say, I didn't think they had gyros in World War II.
Mm-mm. Yeah, no, this was the first one to test that out. The tank had a 60 millimeter... Ooh, I didn't find out the measurements for that.
60 millimeter?
Yeah.
That's about like 60 millimeters. Or 6 centimeters? Is that the right math?
I have no idea. I don't know how to math that.
It's about
but
this big.
The armor plating that was sloped at the front. Early versions had different engines, but this was standardized on the rugged and reliable Ford V8 cylinder petrol engine, giving the 32-ton tank,
Jesus,
big tank, a maximum speed of 26 miles an hour.
Fast enough.
The main gun was 75 millimeters. I do have the conversion for this, which is 2.953 inches. I took out all those numbers.
And that's wide.
Yeah. Like, that's really,
that's
like,
not the length
it
of
it. It doesn't sound big, but it's like...
That's big.
That's very big. And it's round. That's like the bullets coming
it's
out of it.
It's not square.
Right? It's round.
Yeah, you got to do the pi measurement. You got to multiply it.
A high-velocity weapon. Although they were later modifications, the British preferred to equip the tanks with a 17 powder gun.
Pounder.
Pounder? Really?
Yeah.
Why would...
It's like a naval term. It's like a naval term.
And people wonder. It's y'all's terminology.
Pounder. I don't even know her.
No.
I don't know if you're allowed to say that on radio.
Impressive though they looked, the Sherman was vulnerable to a hit from a high-velocity shell, which, if it penetrated the armor, it could explode or ricochet inside of the steel structure, causing carnage of metal and flesh. If the ammunition or the fuel was to ignite, the Sherman would also go up into flames in an instant. Like, this thing would just burn everyone alive in seconds. There'd be no stopping it. There'd be no intervening. You'd literally just have to stand there and watch. There's nothing they could do to help.
Yeah.
The British called this the brewing up. A term for it. Sometimes the Shermans were also called the Ronsons, which was a durable lighter used by the soldiers during the war at the time. And it would light the first time. Like, it was the first variant of a Zippo, I believe. Is you'd strike it and it would stay lit.
Oh, instantly. And that's what the tanks would do if they got shot. That's terrible.
Yeah.
Oh, like, my God.
God. So it's like...
And this is a good tank.
Yeah, this is a good tank. This is a good tank.
One of the bad tanks,
yeah,
dude.
I ended up getting a little bit left on the end there.
Oh,
but
God.
Yeah. Like, this was one of the top tanks to use.
Oh, my God. That's terrible.
But it was super powerful, and it had a gyro stabilizer.
It did.
Only the slight possibility of being burned alive.
Is that all you had for the Sherman?
Yes, that is all I had for the Sherman.
The Sherman, I know everyone's sitting there thinking it was super underpowered. Towards the end of the war, yeah, it was pretty underpowered. But if you watch the movie, not Firefly, Fury.
I thought that was based off of the Tiger tank.
No, they fought the Tiger.
Oh!
But Fury, that tank, yes, it looks like a Sherman, but it was actually a Firefly, which had the longer, more powerful gun.
Oh.
And if you notice all the other Shermans, it's weird. The cannons on them were like...
Yeah, when I was looking at a lot
they're
of
like
2 foot
long.
Yeah, the cannons.
They're really short.
Everything was like...
But the Firefly had like a big old...
Yeah.
Big old Johnny on it. So my last tank for... today's episode. So I picked the CV-33, which is a teeny tiny tank.
Mm-hmm.
And then another terrible tank I picked, which is the largest tank ever made.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Mouse. Super heavy. I don't know what that means in German, the Mouse, but I believe it means rodent.
I was about to say, it was like probably means tiny.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know why they called it that. It was produced in 1944 by the Mustache Man. Everyone knows who that is. He ordered 5, but only 2 were made. I'm sorry, only 2 holes were made, and 1 turret was made before the Mustache Man got defeated.
Mm.
This tank, the Mouse, is still the heaviest tank ever made, weighing 188 tons or 414,469 pounds. Because of this, the Mouse couldn't drive on roads without destroying them. It also cannot go over any bridge.
Sounds about right.
Not just small, any bridge. It could not go over them.
So what was its purpose?
I don't know.
Did they build it where they wanted it? Because how are you supposed to get it somewhere if it can't go on roads or bridges?
So for bridges, they developed a system... they developed a snorkel system so the Mouse could go underwater to cross rivers. But I don't think that was ever tested successfully. Because if it could barely drive on a road, what do you think it's going to do underwater in a river?
With wet sand.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Part of its weight is from its exceptional armor of 7 to 14 inches thick, which is ridiculous. Oh, it could take any tank.
They wanted that thing to be rocket-proof.
It could take any tank hits, like from any tanks in the war.
Yeah, I bet.
I think it could even take a hit from a KV-2, and only the real tank nerds know what a KV-2 is. A.K.A. Stalin's refrigerator.
Oh!
But, where was I? Yeah, crazy armor. The Mouse's main gun was 128 millimeters, or 5 inches.
What kind of bullets were they putting in that thing?
It was, I think, one of the biggest artillery cannons, and they're like, we're going to put this into a tank.
Because why not?
Yeah, and the mustache man was like, "Go put it in a tank." And then everyone was like, "But sir, it's not going to work." And they're like, "I don't want to hear that." Because of that, it could penetrate any other tank in the war easily. You would think, because of this, the Mouse is one of the best tanks based on its insane specs. But it was extremely underpowered and way too big to be effective. Because if you think about it, I didn't get the top speed, but it was extremely slow. I think it was almost as slow as walking. If you're in another tank and you see a way powerful tank that's slow, you could just turn around and
run away.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you could, by the time they got there, the war was over.
Yeah. And then you could just radio the airplanes to be like, "Hey, you see this giant cube? Drop some bombs on it." But they didn't have to do that. So the two prototypes that were made,
mm-hmm.
or the 1.5 prototypes that were made, were destroyed because they didn't want the good guys to get this terrible tank.
Yeah.
But one remains. There's one left in existence. It's located in Russia at this crazy Russian tank museum that I really want to go to.
Mm-hmm.
It's the hull of one and the turret of another tank. So it's two Mouses put together.
Yeah.
Because there was none existing. So they put it together and tested it, and they were like, "Yeah, this is a terrible tank." And that's all I had for the Mouse. And I think that's all we got for part one of good tanks and bad tanks.
Yeah.
So thank you very much for listening to 97.7 WVFF.
I had to get that cheesy joke in there.
I had to do it. Thanks for listening.
Keep it cranking.
I didn't come up with a tank thing.
Until next time.
Until next time.
Tanks.
Tanks.
We thank you for staying tuned to The Toolbox. If you missed it, not to worry. You can always find it over on WVFFradio.com. Thanks for staying tuned to Veterans for Freedom Radio, 97.7 FM, The Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.